Snowman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, News 2 in about 10 minutes or so. Last night, boy, Predators did not look very good. It's one thing to lose a hockey game, which they lost last night. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to just, I mean, they just looked so slow and just so unimpressive last night against the Bruins. And normally, I'd look at a game like that and I'd say, well, look, it's the Bruins. And they still have a lot of those great names, Bergeron and Pasternak. And, I mean, they still usually have a lot of these great players. But Boston's not on a heater. They came in here without their coach. Bruce Cassidy's got COVID. He's out. And so they played last night, and I thought, you know, okay, we'll see a little punch, counterpunch, punch, counterpunch. And Boston scored early to go up 1-0. And I was stunned by the amount of Bruin fans that were up in the building last night. And, I mean, they were loud when that first goal went in there. And it felt to me
that
like...
That was a great goal, though.
Well, I mean, that was a great goal in the second
right
goal.
Right in the top shelf.
The second goal was...
Yeah.
But, I mean... The Predators just looked so lifeless last night. The puck possession was not there. You know, the real scoring opera. I know they got 42 shots or whatever
shots
it was last
goal.
Night. But they didn't have a lot of great scoring opportunities last night. I felt like the game was tilted, you know, even though they got their shots. I just didn't think they played with a lot of energy out there last night. Like, they didn't play with a lot of focus or determination or whatever word you want to use, whatever buzzword you want to put in there. I didn't feel like I saw it last night from the Predators. And I told you during the week, I'm going to take the Predators on Tuesday, and I'm going to take the Predators to lose on Thursday. And it had nothing to do with the teams they were playing. So I watched Predators on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and they kind of gave me an effort that I didn't love. Then they smashed New Jersey on Friday, where they just kicked their butts up and down the ice. Then they lost on Saturday to a pretty good Colorado team. But, I mean, what, they were down 5-0 in that game? So, not a good start there. Then they turn around and they smoke Columbus. I couldn't see that game because the Bally Sports app wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of a lifeless effort last night. So you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. And starting to feel a little bit like a habit. Starting to feel like a habit I don't really like.
I don't know if I would necessarily call it a lifeless effort. I mean, I have to say, I think that the Bruins goalie last night was a Swayman.
Yeah.
Had probably the best game of his career last night.
No, he's a bad boy.
I mean, the Predators
He's a bad boy. So this is nothing new. Like, he's a really good goalie.
I mean, Tomasino had a nice little shot that just got blocked, and it was a really good save. I mean, they had opportunities. And it wasn't
just... I don't think Swayman stole it last night. And I'm sitting where they
42 shots on goal.
This has been the Predators' excuse
and it wasn't
for years.
And it wasn't from the blue line. It wasn't just these, random shots that just didn't go in because it was a bad shot. I mean,
sit where they shoot twice. I did not feel like the Predators put pressure on Swayman last night. I did not feel like at any point. And I've been there where you play your butts off and you lose. I did not feel that way last night. I thought the puck possession last night was horrible. I thought that, like... When Boston had it in your end, they sustained possession and they moved it and they moved without the puck. And, I mean, that's how you get those one-timers that Saros has no idea where they're coming from and they go top shelf on you. I mean, that's how you get, like, you watched that Charlie McAvoy play? Oh, my God. I mean, and I just felt like the Predators were just kind of like, they were there. But it didn't feel like, I didn't. Again, I like Swayman. Swayman's a bad boy. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bruins are going to win a lot with him because I think he's not going to choke in the big games like Tuukka Rask always did. But, no, I think Saros kept it 2-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I think Saros played his butt off last night. But
pretty
I'm
good
just...
game last night.
I'm just getting tired of the win one, lose one. Because you're not going to be any good this year. And if you keep doing the win one, lose one, and you don't get hot at some point, a tough stretch is going to sink your season. And it doesn't matter when it comes. And you're going to have to essentially start the season over again in March because you've got that break for the Olympics. So I didn't like that. The Stadium Series jersey was released yesterday. I got to be honest with you. I said it before the end of the show. It's growing on me. I kind of like it. The fans Well, I shouldn't say the fans. Twitter, which is not a fair representation of society.
Yes.
Twitter, which also hates me, no matter how... Predators Twitter, which absolutely hates me.
Yeah, they do hate you.
Even though, you know, the Stillman and Company, the prior to the Jared and the GM show, was at its most popular for the most part when the Preds were good. So Preds Twitter hates the Stadium Series jersey. Hates it.
They're very outspoken about how much they dislike the jersey.
I'm going to say this. When I saw the jersey, I was like, because I had somebody tell me, they were like, oh, you are going to love this jersey. And so I remember I was in a cab in like Los Angeles when I saw the Winter Classic jersey get unveiled. And I was like, holy crap, look at that jersey.
The Winter Classic jerseys may be my favorite jersey in the NHL.
When
it is
somebody
such a good
told
jersey.
Me that you're going to love the Stadium Series jersey. I was like, okay. Then I saw it. I saw it before all you did. And I was like, that's the jersey. And I think that the reaction that I had and a lot of you all had was that the bar was set so high by the Winter Classic jersey that for it to not be as good as the Winter Classic jersey is kind of like, what? But the more I saw it throughout the night, the more it's growing on me. And the one thing I want to see is I want to see what it looks like on the ice, because I think there's a chance it looks a lot better than it did in the videos that they post. Now, there's a chance that it looks worse, but I would say this. It was growing on me at the end of the show yesterday. I like kind of the throwback to the hatch print stuff that they have on there, though I wish the letters were smaller and contained in the gold stripe.
I don't like how it's on two different lines.
I don't. I mean, so was the Winter Classic jersey.
But those are two different words.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like Nashville right. Predator.
No, I see on that one. So, that I look, Twitter doesn't like anything, especially Preds Twitter.
That's
and
true.
Preds Twitter doesn't like anything that's good for you. So, they don't like me, and they don't like this jersey. So, by the transitive property of mathematics, this, in theory, should be a great jersey. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that you're all wrong, and I'm not going to tell you that this jersey is awesome. And I was thinking that when this jersey dropped, before I had seen it, I thought that you all were going to be running to the team store yesterday to try and pre-order the jersey because it was going to be as good as the Winter Classic jersey. Now, I was also told that, and make of this what you want, I was told that Adidas designed this jersey and the Predators were not involved creatively in it, whereas they were involved in the Winter Classic jersey. So there is that. But it's growing on me, and I want to see it on the ice. Because I think contrasting with the white ice, I think it may actually be a pretty cool jersey.
It may look cool. And the Predators tweeted out that Adidas did design it, but it's made of mostly recycled materials, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Good for the environment.
There you go. Good for the environment.
Yeah. I love a classic-looking jersey. A classic,
can't they make
clean
the regular jerseys out of recycled materials?
Yeah. I'm sure they can.
So then why don't they make every jersey out of recycled materials?
I don't know. I don't work for Adidas, but why don't you take that up with Adidas? But that's why I love the Winter Classic jerseys. They were so, you know, no pun intended, classic looking. They were clean looking. They were clean and crisp. This one doesn't seem as clean and crisp to me. I like that they incorporated Smashville. I think the guitar pick is cool. I like that they kind of picked out little parts of Nashville's culture and put it in there. So, I mean, I still think people will go, you know, try and pre-order the jersey and people will buy this
Can
jersey.
I say this,
even if they say that they hate it, they're
I
still going to buy it.
I absolutely hate using nicknames on the front of the jersey. I hate it.
Why?
I hate the NBA. I hate it.
I like it. I think it's cute.
I hate it. The Knicks that have an iconic uniform are playing a playoff game wearing jerseys that say the city that never sleeps.
I mean, that is a lot of words to put on the front
the
of the jersey.
The Cubs wearing a
Wrigleyville.
Awful.
Well, those uniforms are just awful.
Awful.
But like the Diamondbacks wearing Los Serpientes on their jersey, cool. Really cool.
You know what? Just put the team name on there. That's all I want. Now, so for this, I get it. But I don't hate the jersey as much as everybody else on Twitter seems to hate it. And I would guess that if Twitter hates it, then the reality is most people don't. But Twitter doesn't like it, so at least there's that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I did think when they were dropping this jersey, I thought it was going to be awesome. Like, I thought it was going to be like, and that was not my reaction. 615-737-1025, but it's growing on me, and I like it. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. His thoughts at the Titans on the bye week. We'll ask him about whether or not he thinks they're going to be the number one seed. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they're celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. Hiller wants to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, and they're donating $50 in Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase, and giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get a $500 Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. More special are online at happyhiller.com. As always, happy you'll be here. The service is free, and I know this because they do a great job at my home. These deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule with Hiller today. Hiller, they're proud supporters of the Preds, Tennessee, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Philman and Cuppy, Titans are at the bye week. But I do want to tell all the fine folks to join Chase McCabe at Sam's in Hendersonville at 307 Indian Lakes Boulevard and catch the SEC Championship game and enjoy some great food, beer specials, and grab some game swag. And it should be noted, I just like to state for the record, that I think this is how they should do it every year, where when the Titans are off, there's a massively important college football weekend. I think that's how it should be. That's just me. I don't know about you all. But anywho, Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the program. Corey Curtis, brought to you by our friends at Invigorate Health, where I was today getting a little IV therapy. Corey Curtis, again, brought to you by Invigorate Health. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone health, and wellness, body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more info. Corey, the Titans are at Dubai. They have the second highest odds, according to the New York Times, of winning the number one seed in the AFC. Things look kind of dreary right now, but should they be? How should Titan fans feel at 8-4 heading into the bye?
Well, I mean, look, I think you still have to feel good about your situation. Number one, because the guys you've lost, you don't think you've lost for the entire year. You think you're getting them back at some point. And, you know, and you've also seen you can win games without them and not just beat the bad teams. Actually, they've struggled more with the bad teams than beating the good teams. That doesn't mean you don't need your guys back, because they definitely need their guys back. But they're still in a good situation. I think that their strength of schedule the rest of the way is still the worst in football, even though I think it's a little misleading because the Dolphins and Niners are surging. But I still like their position. I think the Patriots look entirely beatable. I think the Steelers are a fraud. I think the Ravens are heavily flawed. I think the AFC is wide open to be had.
Corey, if I tell you this, Bud Dupree, David Long Jr., and Derrick Henry return for the last three games and the playoffs, how do you feel about the Titans?
No A.J. Brown or Julio Jones?
Well, I think you're going to get those guys back. I just think they're going to get hurt again.
You're just assuming they're going to get hurt again? That's the other big question. If they get these guys back, do they stay back? Because we've seen a propensity for them to get hurt again. But Bud Dupree, Derrick Henry, and David Long Jr., listen, I'm not in love with it because I need weapons on the outside. But you know what those three guys are? Those are three tough dudes. And I like tough dudes, and I like going to battle with tough dudes. And I would say this. They could lose with those three guys in the field, but I would line up against anybody in the NFL with those guys on the field.
Corey, I watched Man in the Arena on ESPN+. It's the new Tom Brady docuseries. It's very much like The Last Dance, where they recap the Patriots Super Bowls. And Vrabel was a part of the last one where they talked about the team culture with the dynasty. And basically, Brady said it best, summing it up by saying, it wasn't the coach who motivated us, and it wasn't the fans who pushed us and held us accountable. It was each other. I look at Tannehill, and I look at Henry, and I look at Byard, and I think those guys are motivated players. I think they're hardworking players. I think, in spite of the fact that Tannehill's been pretty awful lately, I think they're good players. I just don't know if they can hold others accountable the way that Vrabel held his teammates accountable when he played in New England, but I don't know because I'm not inside the locker room. What do you think?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, because we know Tom held guys accountable. You saw that on the sideline, and you had a pretty good feeling that whole New England thing was built with like-minded people. You know, there was a particular kind of people that they wanted in there, and I think the Titans are trying to bring a particular kind of like-minded people, and they're obviously they've failed with a number of them, and many of those guys are moving on. It's, you know, Tom Brady had skins on the wall, and so that makes it a lot easier to hold guys accountable. I mean, listen, we know Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel doesn't back down from anyone or anything, so I can't imagine him not holding people accountable. And it's hard to do because the first person, who's the first person you got to hold accountable, Jared? Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And so we first have to ask ourselves, do we think that all of these guys are holding themselves accountable? And I would say largely, I think most of them are. We could argue on a few, obviously, to say, are we sure? But, you know, that's where it starts. I mean, like Derrick Henry is a perfect example. Derrick Henry holds himself accountable, I mean, to the utmost. I mean, and you hope that the competition starts there. You hope somebody goes to practice on the defensive side of the ball and says, Derrick Henry is not going to beat me today. And that's where the competition starts, and you hope it builds from there. I mean, you need a guy like a Big Jeff or a David Long or Kevin Byard to be that way. I do know this. Nobody's going to outwork Kevin Byard, right? I mean, this guy lives and breathes it. But is that enough for him to look at, I don't know, Elijah Molden, I just say his name because he's a rookie, and say, you're going home already? You know, I don't know. And also, this is a different era. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. 20 sure. years ago was different. And I know, you know, I'm old now. It's official. So I can say that things are different. So I don't know if guys are comfortable talking to that way to each other or not. Maybe what they had there was so singularly special that it's not going to be duplicated. But I do know this, okay, and I'll simplify it down, is, and I texted you this the other day when you were talking about it some, the key is competition. And I brought up the, you know, the Derrick Henry scenario. The Chicago Bears became great in 1985. They circle the moment on the calendar. Jimbo Covert picked up Steve McMichael by the neck and body slammed him on the field. And that, it was at that point where the offense said, enough. You guys will not push us around anymore. And it became a heated competition every day in practice. Most people don't know this. The 1985 Bears were the highest scoring team in the National Football League. They weren't just a great defense. They were a great offense. It's why they went 15-1 and rolled to the Super Bowl. If you can have that competition on the football field where guys look at each other every day and say, you're not going to beat me, that's when I think that they can take the next step. And I think there's a level of accountability there as well.
I think, too, the one thing that I've noticed in a lot of these is all the guys, and you brought up the 85 Bears. I watched the 85 Bears 30 for 30 maybe a couple of weeks ago, and they have this. The Brady Patriots clearly have this. Rodney Harrison talks about it, that yeah. he was kind of this certain way. And I just, from knowing Vrabel, I know he's this way too. Michael Jordan had this, which was, mm-hmm. I'm going to be an ass to you, and I don't care.
So Every day.
I understand that you may, and like, honestly, like, I hate to sit there, like, that's kind of how I operate, where I'm like, you know, look, I know that there are coaches and general managers and stuff in this town that don't like me. I get it, and that doesn't bother me. But it's like, if you don't play at the standard that I hold you to, like, then I'm going to ridicule you on the radio for 4 hours until you do. And I don't really care about it. And I think that that's kind of the way that Vrabel, you know, approached it when he played. And, I mean, look, I think Vrabel probably tries to do some of that as coach as well. I don't know if these players are that way. Like, the idea of, yeah, hey, you know, Big Jeff acts this way, and if you don't like it, he doesn't care. That's mm-hmm. the one thing, and we'll never know the answer as to whether or not the Titans are like this, but that's what I want to know. Does Ryan Tannehill care if people on his offense hate him? Does Ryan Tannehill, who's the hardest hitter on the team? I can't even think off the top of my head, you know, like, who's the Blaine Bishop of this team, but does that guy say, like, yeah, I'm going to hit a guy in practice, I don't care? Like, and I don't know if this Titans team is mean enough to be able to do that. I know Marcus wasn't.
Yeah, well, Marcus was a different kind of guy. I mean, Marcus led a different way. And I'm still in, look, obviously the guys respond to Tannehill, but I'm not sure about how he leads. You know, obviously, I mean, look, you see Brady. you know, you see the intensity and the way he is, you know. But how was Joe Montana? I mean, I would say Montana was more on the lines of Mariota than he would be on that. But he also had unbelievable teammates all around him, and he was perfect for the system. So I think there's room for everybody. I mean, look, the Titans have had guys who didn't care, all right? And by didn't care, I mean it's like you're going to deal with me whether you like me or not. Like Delanie Walker was one of those guys. If you don't like me, you come and knock me off, okay? That he was going to prove to you every day he was the best. I mean, I remember when he did that Bussin' with the Boys interview, when he said, you want to draft a tight end? Go right ahead. He's not going to play, okay? And that's the attitude that you're talking about. And they have had some of those guys. I think part of the problem for us, Jared, is with COVID, we don't get to talk to these guys as much as we used to, especially off camera, when you get a feel for what they're really all about. I mean, that's why I know Delanie Walker so well, just hanging out with him in the locker room. And you just know this guy thinks he's the best. He's got his chip on his shoulder where he's going to show you every day that he's the best. And I look forward to the chance to getting to know these guys again when we get that opportunity, to know how many of these guys are that way. Because you're right, we don't know. It's hard to know when you can't get to know them.
Corey Curtis is our guest news, too. Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week?
You know what? Titans, I think, are going to be the number one seed in the AFC when the playoffs get here.
That is not as hot of a take as you think. They have the second highest odds, according to the New York Times, of getting that. And both TD and I yesterday went over it, and we talked about Patriots, Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs. Because, I mean, those kind of sound like, you know, those four in the Titans seem like the most likely teams to be the number one seed. And I asked TD, who do you think it's going to be? And TD, like, thought and asked for schedules of these other teams, and finally TD just goes, he goes, I think it's going to be the Titans. And I said, I think it's going to be the Titans, too. So you're joining TD and I in saying that you think the Titans are going to be the number one seed.
I think they're going to be 12-5, and they're going to be the number one seed.
One more loss.
One more. Look,
that's
a lot of faith
in the Titans.
It is. But you know what I think, Jared? And it's kind of like one long story. I think this team is tough. I think these guys are tough.
You get me Derrick Henry back, and I think we can have that kind
of
discussion.
Well, listen, they got to have their dude.
I know.
I mean, look, if you're going to tell me they're not going to have A.J., Julio, Derrick, and Bud, they're not going to go 12-5. But I'm assuming they're going to get some of these guys back.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, presented by Invigorate Health. Corey, appreciate you, as always. We'll talk soon.
All right, have a happy holiday there, Jared. We'll talk to you later.
That is right. Hanukkah is currently going on. I hope Corey gets me a great present, which I do appreciate.
I'm going to get you a sweater to match your the one you wear when you're wearing no shirt.
The sweater I wear with no shirt.
I just got
to I got it. Perfect. Appreciate you, Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on the program. So, it took me a second to get there. He's not wrong, though.
That's gross.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm... You know,
own it.
You got to be what you got to be. I do wonder.
Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Thank you. I do wonder if these Titan players, we talked about this yesterday a lot with the Man in the Arena stuff. I do wonder if these Titan players, like the leaders and the, like, if everybody on the team hated Derrick Henry, would Derrick Henry be okay with it?
I think Derrick Henry would be totally fine with it.
Do you?
But I will counter.
Like, do you know that? Like, do you know what that feeling is like when you're like, "Hey, I know these people are going to hate me, but I don't care."
Yeah, I know what that feeling is like. But do you think Derrick Henry? Do you think Derrick Henry would care? Because I personally don't think that he would.
I don't really know, honestly. Like, it's hard to know what is said inside of a locker room and what is not. But and that's a cop out answer.
And it is
I worry that those guys worry about if their teammates like them. But then at the same time, we always have all these discussions that are like, well, we were so close as a team, and our chemistry was excellent, and
in Man of the Arena yesterday, they said, we got on each other, and we knew that it was coming. We knew at the end of the day we were friends, and it was all coming from a place of love, but we got on each other, and we were serious about it. But and I know that we talked about this yesterday, and Corey brought it up, that it's a different time. That, you know, like some things
keep
just aren't said anymore.
Keep that thought. Okay. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. Invigorate Health. Online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. They are the exclusive providers of semaglutide. What is semaglutide? It is a weight loss drug for people that cannot shed those pounds. The first of the year is coming for your New Year's resolution, and it is not one of those crazy things that 5 years from now you're going to see an infomercial asking you to be part of a class action lawsuit. How do I know that? Because the FDA has approved semaglutide, and also, on top of it, it's been prescribed for years for diabetics, but it is now semaglutide for people that are suffering from obesity or just are trying to cut pounds. Semaglutide is safe. I have talked to my friends who are internists. I have talked to my own primary care doctor before talking to you, wanting to make sure that it's safe. And the staff at Invigorate Health all take semaglutide so they can answer your questions as well. Talk to their trained physicians, their nurses, InvigorateHealthTN.com. Again, the exclusive provider of semaglutide. I don't want to say it's a miracle drug, but do your own research. Google it out. Semaglutide may be the breakthrough. According to Men's Health Magazine in November, it is the breakthrough for fighting obesity in America. That's semaglutide, and it is carried exclusively at Invigorate Health, online at InvigorateHealthTN.com.
All right, we got a lot of work done here today, a lot of situations.
I don't think Bill was ever going to needle us any more than we needled each other. You know what I mean? I think that we would go at each other with 2x4s and, you know, competing and talking.
Belichick loved the competition, and I think he really loved seeing guys compete against one another. He loved the fact that we'd go out there and try to beat each other up. He loved the fact that there'd be fights. He loved the fact that there'd be guys talking to one another. So I think he created that environment because he just wanted to see competition.
And that's a huge competition. When you're in there and there's me and there's Rodney, there's Willie, there's Vrabel, there's Pfeiffer.
Ty Warren, Willie McGinnis, Brew or Vrabel, more Vince Wilfork. Guys on offense like Troy Brown. We'd always say, you're never getting edge on me. I'm gonna outwork you. All those guys, that's what we were. We were the edgers.
We had such a trust and an understanding of who each other was that you could talk a lot of be, you know, as ruthless as you wanted to be.
You weren't held accountable by the coach. You weren't held accountable by the fans. You were held accountable by the guy that was sitting next to you every day.
It wasn't about the more you can do, it was who could do the most.
You know, you think you're coming to the weight room at 6:30 in the morning? I've already got a half hour on you. I've been here since 6.
Not getting it in, huh? I'm getting the edge on you.
Just verbally letting people know out in the open. This is what I did. What'd you do?
You know, you think you got an hour of treatment? I got 2 hours of treatment.
Or when somebody leaves the building, are you leaving already?
You know, you only watched an hour of film today? I watched 3.
Still not doing the extra. I'm getting the edge on you today.
Yeah, they look like a machine. Oh, they are.
It takes guts to do that. It takes relationships. It takes courage, too.
That effort, that joy, that enthusiasm that we had, that carried us.
This is another professional football player. I mean, this is a grown man, but I'm going to call you out.
That proved a point. It's like, yeah, this might sound cute, but I'm being really serious right now.
There you go. That was Brady Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi in the Man in the Arena ESPN Plus, The Edge, talking about the edgers. Oh, you're not showing up early? Well, I've already got an hour on you. Which, by the way, I'm going to tell you what, I've worked with people that when you do stuff like that, they get the message real quick, and I've worked with people in my life who take offense that you would say something like that. Like, don't tell me what to do. You know, like, I've done it both, you know, both ways. I will say this. We talked about this with Corey. We talked about this yesterday, the Titan players. You have to be willing to have people not like you if you're going to act like that. Now, the Patriots got lucky because they got a lot of guys in there who all at the same time could talk to each other in one way. And then it was kind of like, well, who are you to not act that way because Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady do? But I do wonder, and you brought this up, in the day and age that we live in, can these Titan players, can they live with the fact if their teammates don't like them? Can David Quessenberry, as an example, can he be like, or Ben Jones, can those guys say, yeah, I don't care what Taylor says. I don't care what Taylor thinks. I don't care if Taylor goes home and complains to his wife all day because I'm on his ass. And I don't care if Taylor gets on his podcast and complains about me. And I don't care. I don't care. It's easy to say that you're willing to do that. And this goes back to the Michael Jordan thing where Michael Jordan said, if you don't get on his level, he's going to ridicule you until you do. And that is not a very popular thing to do. It's very easy to say, I'm willing to make decisions that are unpopular. It's another thing to do it every day. And I'm not saying the Titans don't do it, but in this day and age, I think we're all trained to want people to like everything that we do. We want people to like our photos on Instagram and Facebook. We want people to agree with us on Twitter. You'll be surprised. No, I don't care if people agree with me on Twitter or not.
That doesn't surprise me.
That doesn't really bother me. But it's easy. It's a lot easier to say, you know, hey, I want to be the guy in town that everybody disagrees with all the time. It's a lot easier to say it than it is to be it.
And I do think that times have changed, that some people that there are some people that can't really take the tell it like it is kind of mentality. But has football really changed that much? And football has changed. I mean, there is an openly gay player in the NFL, and he's celebrated, not just tolerated. He is celebrated. And that is something that maybe 20 years ago that necessarily wouldn't have been the case. So football has changed. But the mentality of winning is the only thing that matters, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to win. Has that mentality changed? I don't think it has across the league.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who's your quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Has his mentality changed?
No.
Okay. So I think that's, again, I don't know what Kansas City's like. I think Kansas City's kind of a different place. I think, you know, those teams that party crazy, like the Raiders back in the day, mm-hmm. and Jerry Jones's Cowboys with Michael Irvin doing all that cocaine, getting out there on that football field. I think those kind of teams do things differently. Mm-hmm. But I think like the, hey, let's button it up, go to work teams, I think that those are the teams that guys are willing to get on each other. And I'm going to say this about the Predators because I feel comfortable in saying this. And I have been criticized for having said this before. And I like Roman Josi a lot. I think he's a great player. I think he's a hard worker. I think everybody respects him. But it changed when Mike Fisher left. It changed. And I think to some of that extent, like, sometimes guys just can't take it. We live in a society where those guys, their lives are envied to be in the NFL. And guess what? Those Patriot teams, they don't care about being in the NFL. It was never a thing to Willie McGinnis of like, wow, I'm in the NFL. Let me go out and have everybody tell me how great I am. That doesn't matter to Willie McGinnis. And it doesn't matter to Derrick Henry. But does Derek get that message through to everybody else? And that's just something that I don't think we'll ever know. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Let's hit some headlines with Caroline. And we'll do that coming up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Deals include half-off gift cards to these great locations like the Nashville Armory, Brooklyn Bowl Nashville, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, and Fat Cat Slims in the Gulch. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Big college football weekend. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com to play for more details. Silly underdog picks brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. By the way, we've got to get to this, and we will in the next hour. Caroline's coach at LSU.
Don't call him my coach.
Oh, he is your coach.
He's not my coach. He coaches at the school that I went to. He is not my coach.
Hashtag
not my coach.
Ian, is Brian Kelly her coach?
Most definitely.
Your coach.
Ian.
Your coach.
It's a great day to be a Tiger.
You're
from Massachusetts.
I cannot wait. Cannot wait. But first, headlines. Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
What headlines we got there, Caroline?
So we learned yesterday that Antonio Brown, among one current Buccaneer and a former Buccaneer, will get a 3-game suspension from the NFL for submitting fake vaccination cards to the league. And of course, Bruce Arians was asked about it today. Bruce Arians said that he believes the NFL needs to take a closer look at other teams after two of his players, of course, Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards, were found to have provided fake vaccination cards. He said, "We've done everything. There's a lot more to that story. I just hope they don't stop looking." So a reporter asked if there are other issues throughout the league, and Bruce Arians said, "Maybe."
So when you, the way you said it and the way that maybe it went down, I probably need to hear the audio, but I will say this. I think the NFL's got to put in a rule. If I'm king of sports, just like how I put in that new rule that wouldn't allow Brian Kelly to go to LSU.
Sports would be
after.
So unfun if you
But
were
if
king
I'm
of
king of sports, I am making a rule that if somebody gets in trouble for something on the field, that just like how you know you get fined if you criticize an official, you get fined if you accuse nameless other people of doing something just vaguely. Right? Remember the John Gruden emails? When Derek Carr was like, "Well, I think if we opened up everybody's emails, we'd see something." That's not how that works, Derek.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
We're not looking into everyone else's emails.
Everybody else does this, so it's okay that I did it. Not how that works. I got to say this. And we didn't break this down enough because we had a lot going on yesterday when the news broke. And then Joe got on his soapbox about Antonio Brown. You know, look, I'm pretty anti-COVID, you know, as far as like the people that are like, "It's nothing more than the flu." I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's pro-COVID.
No, but like, you know,
I'm
vaccinated. I got the booster. If they tell me to wear a mask, I wear the mask and I don't complain about it. And I understand that it's killed a lot of people and I understand that it's real and that it's not going away. I understand all that. But like the pearl clutching of like, you know, AB put all these people, you know, lives at risk, like, you're not going to get through to anybody by saying that. And Joe yesterday, boy, he get mad about that.
I mean, it's true that you are going to put people at risk if you lie about being vaccinated. But I
nobody
think
who's
the,
not vaccinated
the league
to you
is looking
that.
Into different things. Yes,
but 3 games? Like seriously, 3 games?
But all like
that's what they gave AB.
And I can't believe...
Suspend his ass for the rest of the season, please.
I can't assume that the league has any sort of rule written in the books about this because this has never happened before, I have to assume. But the league is also setting a precedent that if you explicitly lie about anything, if you forge a federal document, that it's going to be about, it's going to be a slap on the wrist.
Did we think 3 games was not enough?
I do not think 3 games was enough.
Ian?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
AB, 3 games. Too many or too not enough?
I would probably give him more. Is it not a... I mean, it's hard to know without all the details, but I think it is a felony, right?
I'd suspend him for the rest of the season.
I mean, it's forging a federal document.
I'd say you can't play... If you put in a fake vax card for 2021, you can't play the rest of 2021.
Like, don't you go to jail if you have a fake ID?
I think it's like certain states, yes. But I think it's like certain states have different rules or I don't know what that
is. I don't know. I'm glad that I don't know. But
if I'm Goodell, and I would have said it too. If I was Goodell, I'd have released a statement. And I'd have said, we'll assess this at the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But for 2021, if you have a fake vax card and we find out about it, you're out for the rest of the season.
It's also just dumb.
You're done.
It's just dumb to do.
That's if I'm the king of sports, and I'm not. What's next?
Notre Dame named their new head coach. You were just mentioning LSU's LSU's new head coach. Brian Kelly obviously leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU. Notre Dame filled that void with Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator. He's like 34, 35 years old.
35.
So 35 years old, so huge for him. So he, as defensive coordinator, the Irish ranked 6th nationally in interceptions with 15, defensive touchdowns with 4, 7th in total sacks with 40, 11th in turnovers gained with 23, and scoring defense with 18.2, averaging 18.2 points a game. So, I mean, Marcus Freeman has been able to completely flip Notre Dame's defense. He said it's an
flip
honor.
Flip it from what?
I mean, not maybe not flip it, but improve it.
Improve it from what?
What it was before.
They were in the playoff last year with a great defense.
Okay, and it was also a great defense this year, too.
So he didn't flip or improve anything. He just kept it the same. Here's the question I'll say. If you're Clark Lee, are you sick to your stomach today? Because, and I shouldn't say today. Were you sick to your stomach 3 days ago? Because if Clark turns down the Vanderbilt job to stay defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, which I don't think anybody would have been mad at Clark Lee for doing. I don't think anybody would have looked at Clark Lee and said, what in the world would you do that for? It's not like he turned down Georgia in order to stay defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. If he turns down Vanderbilt to stay defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, he probably becomes the coach in waiting at Notre Dame. And if Brian Kelly's out, Clark Lee's probably the head coach at Notre Dame today. So instead, Clark Lee gets to go, 2-9 this year? Clark Lee has a terrible season this year. They're 0-8. I think Clark's a good guy. I think he's smart. I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he can turn Vanderbilt around. That's an impossibly hard job. He'd be the head coach of Notre Dame today. And that, my whole point with this is timing is everything. It wasn't like the Notre Dame defense was just terrible. And then Marcus Freeman got in there and saved Notre Dame. They were in the playoff last year with a great defense with Clark Lee. And so Tommy Reese, their offensive coordinator, who's like 28 years old, and Marcus Freeman, who's 35 years old, they're getting the keys to Notre Dame. And I'm like, look, I hope it works out. I have no idea if it will or if it won't. But, man, Clark Lee. Oh, that's just – it's tough timing. It's just – oh, it's tough. Oh, that's tough on Clark Lee.
And speaking of timing, I mean, Notre Dame said, they came out outwardly and said, we're going to take our time with our coaching search. We're not going to dive into anything too quickly. But, I mean, this was a fairly quick move, promoting Marcus Freeman from defensive coordinator to head coach. But they kind of had to move quickly because Brian Kelly was trying to get Tommy Reese, the recruiting coordinator, the strength and conditioning coach, Matt Ballas. They was trying to bring all of them to LSU. So I think Notre Dame saw that and they were like, nope, you know, you can leave, but everyone else is staying put.
I think what Notre Dame did is what everybody else can't seem to do, which is they went about their business and probably kept their mouth shut the whole time. I mean, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, had a press conference. He basically said, yeah, we knew for months that Brian Kelly was going to leave. Like,
really?
Yeah, he was like, we knew. He came to us, you know, about opportunities, and we just knew that we're not surprised by it. We kind of saw this coming. Here's what I think happened. They picked up the phone, and they said, hey, Luke, you want to come? No. Okay, you're in. I think that's what happened. Because when I saw Tommy Reese had been given all this money to stay at Notre Dame, I was like, Marcus Freeman's going to be the head coach. Because what you can't do is you can't pay Tommy Reese all this money
and then go try to
bring in Luke Fickell. Yeah. Like, you're not Luke Fickell's bringing his own coach in here. So I wasn't surprised by that. But, I mean, just when I saw the go watch the Jack Swarbrick press conference. If you have some time, I'm sure it's up on YouTube. I mean, the level of indifference that this man has to Brian Kelly leaving, I thought was like, wow. He was just like an old pawpaw just standing there at the press conference, not even wearing a tie, shirt not even ironed. He's just sitting there with a jacket on, just like, yeah, we thought he was going to leave because he came to us a couple weeks ago, and we just figured, you know, it wasn't going to work out. And so, you know, I'm not surprised by it. And if you watch, you see the leaked video of Brian Kelly talking to the players?
Oh, yeah, it was to the Notre Dame players?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
So Swarbrick just got up there and was like, hey, coach wants to talk to you guys. And then, you know, he gets up there and leaves, and then Swarbrick just gets right back. Like, Swarbrick's level, like, when there's a breakup, even if you're the person who didn't do the breaking up, like, if there's a breakup and one person doesn't care and the other person gets mad because that person doesn't care.
Right.
And it's like, I got to tell you, maybe Swarbrick's not trying to. It doesn't feel like he cares that Brian Kelly left, which is crazy.
And I probably the way in which he left was bad. Maybe Brian Kelly, and I can probably assume he was probably a tough person to work with.
But
so Jack Swarbrick probably saw that and said, okay.
Is it the. Yeah, but the Notre Dame athletic director.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
The Notre Dame athletic director, if somebody's hard to work with, is like. I mean, you got to get football right. So even if. Like, if he said that he knew for a couple of weeks. Then this and said he wasn't surprised.
This has been in the works probably for a while.
This is not something that like he would be upset with Brian Kelly about. This would be, yeah, we thought you were going to do it, and he did it. What's next?
The NCAA Football Oversight Committee approved.
What is that?
I don't know. Approved a one-time bowl game this year, the 42nd bowl game this year.
What the?
Ensuring that no belt bowl eligible team was left out. So the Red Box Bowl in San Francisco. Is not going to happen this year, which would have been the 83rd or 84th.
Because of COVID or because no one uses Redbox anymore?
Maybe a sprinkle of both. But there were 83 teams that finished with a bowl eligible record. So Hawaii finished 6-7, but they played 13 games. So college football decided, like, they could say, oh, maybe they're eligible, maybe they're not, but they ultimately decided that they were. So they approved a one-time bowl game to ensure that all bowl eligible teams were able to have a bowl berth. So the newly created 84th spot expanded the lineup. The Hawaii will go to the Hawaii Bowl, which Memphis initially accepted, but Memphis will go to a different game. The new bowl technically replaces the Red Box Bowl, but the date has not been announced quite yet. So this bowl is just, you know, in place so everyone can play a bowl game. If you're 6-whatever, you can play a bowl game.
I was looking at the bowl games today. I saw there's a Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. There is a Barstool Sports Bowl.
There is a Barstool. I think it's in Arizona, maybe?
There were so many companies I have never heard of that are sponsoring some of these bowls. Louisville, my school, were projected to go to the Cure Bowl.
What is that?
I don't know. It's in Orlando, apparently.
Every bowl's in Orlando. It's either in Orlando or somewhere in Texas.
Well, it's nice weather where they have hotels.
Yeah, well, when LSU played in Orlando.
Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, which, by the way, the Sun Bowl is the worst bowl in all the bowls.
Why?
In El Paso, Texas.
I mean, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, I'd rather go to Shreveport than El Paso.
Have you been to Shreveport?
I have not, but El Paso, no thank you. So, like, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, I mean, it's bad. It's bad. These bowl games, I'll tell you. Those are headlines.
Duke's Mayo Bowl. It's just a pretty good bowl. But
that's the Belk Bowl, right?
Yeah. The one in Charlotte.
Belk's out?
Belk's out. Duke's Mayo's in. The Idaho Potato Bowl.
Why doesn't Belk? See, at least that makes sense.
Well, yes, but it's funny.
That's like, you know, when all they started getting corporate sponsors and they had the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, and I'm like, that makes sense. That's fine.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 102. College football this weekend. So, I have a theory about the way the fans are starting to treat college football. And I think it's really bad for the sport, and this weekend might have to be the weekend that does it. I'll explain next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102 by the game.